such a residential street with a lot of children all the time. Most of the people that live up here are on Upper Pioneer Street, which begins kind of like where the Presbyterian Church is, and it ends up Beaver Street. We have Vassar Hospital right behind our house on Fair Street. And if you knock on any door in Upper Pioneer, you'll probably get a doctor to answer the door. And they all have children. And I think it just became one of those things that everybody knew that there were family here with children, and everybody had candies. And it just evolved into something that I think we're going to request even to have the street closed down on Halloween because of so many children. This past Halloween, we had about 650 kids that came. So for us, it's great. I mean, I go outside and I spend 3 hours handing out candy. The children are very polite. They come from all over. They're not just from Cooperstown. They come from other towns to get candy, and they know they're going to be welcome here. So, like I said, I don't know how the tradition started, but I think it's been going for a long time. And when we got the house, Carol Taylor was known to always have good goodies for the children. And so we were told that we had to, not that we had to, but it would be nice to continue the tradition. And we have. Every year we make sure that we're here for Halloween. We don't make any plans, and we decorate, and the three golden retrievers have a blast being outside with the children and taking pictures with them. We don't dress them up, but they love seeing all the kids and stealing their candy and things like that. So I have a blast. I think it's just the greatest thing. It's such a community event. Just like the kids can wait to do the parade on Main Street, they're always waiting for the parade to be finished because then the parade starts here on Pioneer Street. The more neighbors we get now, and the newer neighbors that are coming, they have other mentalities. We have another gay couple a few doors down, and they put a pirate ship, and they make it this huge event. It's always a different theme, and the kids get a kick out of it. There's lights and pyrotechnics going on, and smoke machines and things like that. So it's pretty cool. One generation leaves and then another one comes back, and we just make it better and better and better, and everybody likes it.
Can you please tell me the names of your three dogs?
We have the oldest one is 7 years old, and she is Jersey. We name her that. My husband taught at Princeton University, and so lived at Princeton, and I used to live in Union City, New Jersey for a little bit when I was younger. So it sounded nice to have a dog named Jersey, and it was a pretty name. Dakota is our second child. They have the same parents. And we just figured since we had a Jersey, we wanted to continue with a state for the second one. We had a friend that her dog was named Georgia, and the other one was Virginia, so we had to go west to find a name, and Dakota sounded pretty. And then the third one, who is a 2.5-year-old, also from the same parents, we named her after their mom, and her mom was Savannah, so she got the mom's name, and we kept it geographical.
Are these therapy dogs?
They are. They are. One of the things that we wanted to do was make sure that they had activities to do and not just be a dog that just sat at home all day long. Golden Retrievers love interaction. They love people, and they love helping people. So we thought it would be a good idea. One of the reasons, the first thing that we wanted to do was make them a therapy dog, but also be a reading dog that they could help children with anxiety of reading. Help them with that. We haven't had much success here with that because it's just one school in the area, and there seems to be a lot of dogs. But we found out having a hospital, right behind us. They have a volunteer department that the therapy dogs should go and visit the patients and things like that. So we've been doing that for about 6 years now. We go on Thursdays and the three dogs visit the psychiatric ward, and we mingle with the patients there, and it's good therapy for them, and the dogs get to do what they like doing. And then we do our rounds in the hospital and visit patients and nurses and doctors and some of the people that are in the waiting areas waiting for their loved ones to come out. And they have a blast. You know, so we do that a lot. We spend a lot of time doing that. We were doing a little bit of focus, or what used to be called focus. The retirement centers, they seem to get a little bit anxious about that. But, you know, so now I'm keeping them just with Bassett and concentrating just there. I think they have plenty of work there. And we love it, you know, and they enjoy it and things like that.
Do you ever work with veterans also?
I don't. Veterans, working with veterans is a little bit different because the dogs that veterans use are specific for them. If I had to go somewhere where there is veterans, yes, they could go in. But veterans tend to have their own dogs if they have an issue. And those dogs have been trained specifically for the need of that person. So no, we don't. If I went to the VA hospital, I could take them and we visit some of the veterans there. But that's as far as I would go with that. Working with veterans is a little bit different. It's just very specific to each individual. And the VA takes care of that. We're providing dogs that have been trained for years to accommodate that individual.
I noticed you have Norman Rockwell images. Are you a fan of
Norman? We are. I'm a big fan of Norman Rockwell. He painted, you know, life as it was, or as it should be. We were in his museum this past summer, and if you look at some of the paintings that I selected to have on my walls, it represents a lot of what is going on in the country nowadays. And it gave me comfort to actually see how our country has evolved from what it was and what he painted that life was back in those days to what we wish it was now with the turmoil that we have been going on in our country. So, yeah, you see, that's what caught my eye that, you know, you have from paintings from, you know, white older people with black children or black children coming into white neighborhoods and the racism turmoil that we have nowadays to the United Nations one that he painted, that immigrants make up this country. And then the four freedoms that one of our presidents spoke about, you know, freedom of speech, freedom to worship, freedom of the press, and freedom to gather. So some of the things that we're struggling with nowadays, and some of the things that people want to take away from us. So yes, I think more people need to go to his museum and get inspired and see how we were. And maybe they come up with something, or they come out with something in their hearts. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of him.
Who's your favorite artist or genre of artwork?
I really don't have anything. It's just like music. I kind of like go with the flow. I don't, you know, I don't have any style of music that I would say I like this one better than the other one. Growing up, you know, I grew up in an era in the 80s where there was, you know, Depeche Mode and all those kind of things. And then when I was in the military, a lot of the guys that are in the military, they like country music, and I was into country music. So I kind of like just, if it catches my ear or if it catches my eye, then that's what's important to me. It's not any particular style or any particular artist or designer. I don't wear something because somebody made it. I wear something because I like it and it's comfortable, and things like that. So when I'm at the gym, I like something that's gonna get my heart pumping, and it's sometimes, you know, so I tend to like listen to techno, and it just keeps me going. When I'm cleaning at the house or when I'm working out in the backyard, some reason I tend to see myself hearing more of heavy metal, that it just keeps me moving. When I'm cleaning, or when I'm, you know, maybe doing something that I'm thinking, it's more classical. So it all depends on what I'm doing and in the mood that I am. I'm cooking, and it's most of the time it will be, for some reason, I tend to be listening to Andrea Bocelli. And when I'm in the car with John and we're doing long trips, all of a sudden we tend to be listening to Spanish music. But nothing, you know, more romantic Spanish music than anything. So it all depends on what we're doing. At least for me, there's no specific art or music or anything or artist or style that I would say defines me. Anything that catches my eye, it's, you know, it's like food. If it looks good, you know, I'll try.
Now, you mentioned music. I overheard you talking earlier that you're going to see a concert tonight.
Today, we're going to go see Chris Botti. And that's one of those things, you know. I could go from listening to a trumpeter, because it's very mellow. I love piano. So the music that Chris plays, it's just very similar. So we're going to go see him tonight. It's one of my husband's favorite artists. So there will be.
Have you seen anything at the Glimmer Glass Festival that you particularly liked?
We are members of the Glimmer Glass Opera. So we are season ticket holders. So we're there every summer to see all the performances and contributors to the opera. So yeah, I mean, I don't like everything. Some of them I wish I didn't go see. Some of them I wish I could see like 3 or 4 times. Silent Night that they did this past summer, Joe and Noel. I had seen the movie and I had seen the play before, and I was glad that they did it. For those who don't know about it, it's during the war. World War One, the French, the Italians, and the Scottish fighting against each other, and then they stopped for Christmas Eve, and they sang together, and then they continued fighting the next day. So it was very emotional for me, but it was beautiful. They did a beautiful job on it. Macbeth was really nice. I enjoyed that one. So there's been several ones. Out of the top of my head, I can't remember all of them that they've done. But I love going over there. I love with friends with Francesca Cimbello and her wife. So we like supporting the arts, and we'll continue to do it. You know, they always bring... It's always something nice to look forward to in the summertime. We're not baseball people. I love sports, but I don't... That's not my forte to like hang out at the baseball hall of fame, but we go up the road and we have the opera.
Which of the museums in the area do you particularly like?
I love the Farmers Museum, because the animals, and the baby goats, you know, so, whenever, and we're also members of that. So whenever we have company, we tend to either bring them or send them over there. I like the Farmers Museum, you know, the candlelight evening and Christmas. It's just one of those very family-oriented things that you get to see your friends and their kids, and everybody's having a good time. So I tend to be there more than Fenimore art museum. I would go see the new exhibitions that they have. But maybe I'll go there once or twice during the whole season. But the Farmers Museum, I'll go anytime I want. I enjoy it. So that's one of my favorite ones.
Would you say Christmas time is your favorite time around the Farmers Museum?
You know, every season they have something going on. And for every occasion. So, no, it's not really any particular time. We try to enjoy every event that they have. Because they're always fun, whether it's tractor, you know, weekend, or, you know, maple syrup, you know, all that kind of stuff, we take to go and support it. Yeah, Christmas is Christmas, you know, who doesn't like Christmas, and who doesn't like hanging around outside when it's snowing, and you're drinking cider, and everybody's having a good time, and everybody has a smile on their face. So, I guess in a way, it would be the Christmas spirit, and people singing carols and stuff. But I could enjoy the Farmers Museum any time of the year. It doesn't matter. As long as there's little animals running around, that's good enough for me.
So what's your favorite community event in Cooperstown?
I don't know. I really don't have a specific one. I try to enjoy everything that the community does. I wish it would have more events that involve the children on Main Street. I think we've gone away, you know, when I talked to my husband, and Winterfest was, you know, things for the kids to do and things like that. I think the town has moved away from it a little bit. And there's so many breweries and things like that, that it becomes a festival just for the older folks. Oktoberfest has just become something of music and the partying and things like that. I wish it would go back to what I hear it used to be, that it was more focused on the kids and family and activities and food. And I walked down there and there were just a few vendors, and that was about it. So I wouldn't say any specific one. I wish there were more things related to food, because that's what I like. But listen, as long as we continue doing things, that's the main thing. I mean, there's towns that don't have anything going on. We tend to have a lot. But we also have to realize that there is other things besides baseball. We can't just sit back and cater to everybody else that lives on the outside and not cater to the people that live here and that pay the taxes and that maintain the village for what it is. You know, I think we owe it to ourselves to continue those traditions.
How in other ways have you seen Cooperstown change since you've moved here?
There's really haven't been a lot of changes from when we moved here. I think we've seen more of a change in the culture of acceptance since we've been here. For a baseball town, that you would say would be a more heterosexual-oriented town, there is a big population of gays up here. But it's a different mentality. The gay community, the LGBTQ community that's up here, it's either married, they have partners, they're family oriented, they have kids, they're part of the community, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're teachers, they're superintendents, they're respected members of the community. Like a lot of single gay people would tell you, it's a very hard time to try to meet somebody if you're gay here, because everybody is attached to someone. But you know, I think it's just the fact that Cooperstown has become so diverse. I guess it's because I live here now. That I don't see the big difference. When I was traveling back and forth, I would see it more because I would come from a town where you see certain things going on that you don't like, and then you come over here and everything's peaceful and everybody's accepting and all that kind of stuff. Now that I live here permanently, I just see that everybody just cares for everybody. And that's a nice thing to have. There's no major wars going on here in Cooper Sound. But I haven't seen, you know, I think the changes that have happened for the best. We don't tend to go backwards too much.
Is there anything particularly interesting that you would like the community of Cooperstown or anyone in the Otsego area to know about you and your husband, John?
I think everybody that knows us pretty well because of the dogs. It's funny that we go to different, you know, we have friends in the surrounding towns, and if we get introduced to somebody that doesn't know us, all they have to say is like, they're the guys with the three golden retrievers. They go like, oh, I seen them walking around, and they're pretty, and, you know, they're therapy dogs, and blah, blah, blah. So we tend to meet a lot of people because of our dogs. We, you know, everybody that knows us, everybody that gets to know us, they know that we're very friendly guys. We enjoy our community. We welcome everybody in our home at any time. I've always said that our doors are always open. And everybody that knows us and knows about us knows that they're always welcome at our table. I'm always willing to feed anybody. I think that's something that I got from my grandmother. There was always enough food to feed somebody, you know, whoever knocked on the door. And I kept that mentality that, you know, if John and I are sitting at the dinner table and somebody knocks on the door and they come in, I'm going to serve them a plate of food and they're going to give me whatever they came for at the table, whether they were asking for something. So we are a welcoming group of guys here. What you see is what you get. Yeah, that's just who we are.
Well, Mr. Mandaka, it has been a beautiful pleasure speaking with you, and I thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.